My childhood home was sold this week in the biggest real estate transaction in American history. It went for over $5 billion. Granted, the buyer got more than the three-bedroom apartment where I grew up. They also got about 11,000 other units, all of which make up Stuyvesant Town and the somewhat smaller and tonier Peter Cooper Village. They are middle-income rental housing projects of orange brick buildings in Lower Manhattan along the East River. I would say we lived in a high-rise, but the Stuyvesant Town upbringing still makes me gag on that phrase. It's like saying I had food for lunch. Who didn't live in a high-rise? Stuyvesant Town went up in the 1940s to provide affordable housing for returning veterans like my father, who were facing a citywide housing shortage. Metropolitan Life built it and got a huge subsidy in exchange for offering low rents. The trade-off for tenants was so good, there were long waiting lists. Mind you, there was no air conditioning and no dishwashers. The walls were so thin you could hear your neighbors argue. And even in the three-bedroom units, there was one bathroom and it was pretty small. In the 1950s and 60s, when I grew up there, it was a place of window fans and clothes dryer racks stretched over the bathtubs. On the other hand, a teacher or a fireman or a cop could live there, in Manhattan, in a place with lawns, trees, hedges, and even a couple of fountains. For kids like me, it was heaven. The buildings clustered around playgrounds, and we grew up in packs of baby boomers, playing sports, skinning our knees and elbows on the concrete, and later exploring Manhattan at a time when that was not yet considered dangerous. MetLife built Stuyvesant Town for whites only. They used the same materials to make Riverton houses in Harlem, separate and smaller. Integration came shamefully late. When my parents applied in 1946 or 47, they were visited by a MetLife employee who, according to my mother, actually checked the closets, presumably to see if they kept house the way Stuyvesant Town people would be expected to keep house, or possibly to look for communist books. Stuyvesant Town was rumored to be one-third Jewish, one-third Catholic, and one-third Protestant. We all lived together, but school separated us. In my day, it was generally Jews in public school, Catholics in parochial school, Protestants in private school. At my school, PS 61, I was told that Stuyvesant Town ranked with Java for population density. It was unlike any other place in the United States. It's been that in other ways, too, not just people per acre. It was an inner-city oasis with no rich people and no poor people. Recently, rents on vacated units have started getting in sync with the absurdly expensive Manhattan real estate market, and now the rents will likely go up some more. It has been sold in an age that celebrates the virtues of markets. It was built in a simpler time, when the glaring failures of the market, like no affordable housing, were considered targets for public action.